Our pericope of scripture this morning is from John's Gospel, John chapter 20. And if you keep your Bibles open later on, it's verses 4 through 8 will be our text, and I will not be rereading them. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin which was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whomsoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." How many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book? But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. May he bless the reading and the preaching of it again this morning. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, one of the great historical evidences of Jesus' resurrection is the empty tomb. But as startling and remarkable as this fact is, when Peter and John arrive at the tomb, it is not quite empty. Oh, the body of Jesus is gone, but something was still there, wasn't it? The grave clothes. And we read of John, when he saw, he believed, verse 8. This is the first time that a disciple indicated belief in Jesus' resurrection. And so we need to ask the question, what did he see? Come with me. Come, let us look, let us see, and let us believe. My theme is the not quite empty tomb. The not quite empty tomb. Notice the disciples came, the disciples saw, and the disciples believe. The disciples come. Their coming to that tomb arose out of confusion. Early that morning, while it was yet dark, four women come to the tomb. They're going to perform their last loving deed on their master. But when they're coming, Mary Magdalene, seeing that the stone is rolled away, that the sepulcher is open, she turns right around. She turns around and she runs right back to where Jesus' disciples are. Because she's made a conclusion. When she sees that open tomb, the stone rolled away, she says, "They have taken away the body of our Lord, and we know not where they have laid him." Confusion. The tomb's open. And so the two disciples, that is Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, they hasten to the tomb. We have there an Easter morning foot race. And we read that John reaches that tomb first. How is it that John outruns Peter? There are some who say, well, Peter has still that guilty conscience because he had denied the Lord, and so he's kind of dragging his feet. No, that's not the case at all. They both come with eagerness. But John is the younger one, isn't he? He outlives Peter some 60 years. And he is the one who was more intimate with the Lord Jesus. And John comes there, but he does not enter. Is it because he's afraid of being defiled? And the answer is no. No, he was waiting for Peter to take the lead, for Peter had been kind of the leader of the disciples. And so he stoops down to investigate the grave. They come. But notice with me, they come not out of faith. They come in love, and they come in confusion. What is this strange tale? What is this open tomb? What has happened to our Lord Jesus? Yes, they come not by faith, but they come in love. And notice with me, our love needs to be regulated by our faith. God, in His grace and in His overruling providence, causes disciples to come. Why is that important? Because according to Mosaic law, in order to be an eyewitness, number one, you need to be a male. Moreover, you must have more than one. You must have at least two witnesses. They must be male. Perhaps you say, well, where do you get that from? Go look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Apostle Paul sets forth all the eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. And you will not find in that account the mention of the women, not by name or even as a group. No, according to Mosaic law, it must be two witnesses, two men who are eyewitnesses. And so these two come. And we need, and we have, don't we, those two witnesses in John and in Peter. They are eyewitnesses of the empty tomb. That is, Jesus is not there. And they are eyewitnesses also of the clothes that the Lord Jesus left behind. The linen wrappings that Nicodemus had put around the body. Eyewitnesses. Jesus himself is not in the tomb, but his linen clothes are lying there undisturbed. The women came, the disciples came, and by God's providence and grace, we come this morning. And hopefully our coming this morning is not merely out of tradition. That's what we do on Sundays and especially on Easter morning. And hopefully we come not to show off new Easter clothing. And that we do not come in confusion. What should I really believe? God creates by His grace in us a desire. God creates in us a love that is regulated by faith. Yes, we want to come to that empty tomb of our Lord Jesus to behold the evidence that our Savior is risen indeed. How do we come? No, not by foot, a foot race, but we come in the gospel preached to us. We come to observe the not quite empty tomb. And looking in that not quite empty tomb, to believe and to rejoice. The Lord is risen indeed. The disciples came. That's my first point. Second point. The disciples saw. Hopefully, boys and girls, or if you've got your Bibles open, you can look at how many different times we read in this short chapter about the disciples or the women seeing. But in our text, verses 4 through 8, we read that John saw, then we read that Peter saw, and then we read again that John saw. And what is very interesting, we can't see it in our English translation, but in the Greek you have three different Greek words used to describe what the disciples, those first two eyewitnesses, do. In verse 5, we read, as John came to the tomb, because he was the first there, that he saw. That is, he stooped down and he looked inside of that tomb, and the Greek word there is blepo. That's the most common use, used word for the word to see. And it means to glance. John stooped down and he glanced there in the tomb, and no, he did not see Jesus there. We read then in verse 3 that Peter comes, and Peter comes bursting, and he goes right into the tomb, and he saw. And that word there is thoreo, from which we get our word to theorize. It means to behold intently, to scrutinize, to draw a theory upon. Peter goes into that tomb and he looks and he theorizes, Jesus' body is not there, but look. Look, the linen clothing that Nicodemus had wrapped around the body of Jesus is lying there undisturbed. That tells him something. It's not grave robbers who came to seek earthly possessions. Then the clothes would be disturbed and the body would still be there. No, it was not the enemies of Jesus that took his body away, because then the clothing would also be taken with him. But Peter looks and he notices that Jesus is not there, but the grave clothing is lying there undisturbed. Then we read in verse 8, John saw. And that is the Greek horeo. And that Greek word means to perceive with understanding. That is, John is able to put two and two together, and it is four. The light bulb goes on. Jesus' body is not here, but the grave clothing is there, undisturbed, obviously. There's only one way that could take place. And that is that the body of Jesus Christ that was sown there in the grave has been raised up miraculously right out of the grave clothing, leaving them undisturbed. He looks, horeo, and he believes, he understands. He begins to understand what Jesus had said earlier, I must go to Jerusalem and they will put me to death, and on the third day I will rise again. Now, when he believes with understanding, it does not mean that he has all the answers yet. That will only take place in the next 40 days. For example, he will not understand at this point, why did Jesus have to die and why now this resurrection? Why couldn't Jesus just have ridden into Jerusalem as a king and taken over? Why the way of death and resurrection? We read there that they did not yet know the scriptures, that he must rise again. That has to be explained to them in the next 40 days by Jesus. And they are given the Holy Spirit to understand. John stands there cautiously by the empty tomb while Peter bursts right on in impetuously. And then John follows. I believe from that we can see something learn something about the different temperaments of God's people. Both John and Peter are very closely, deeply attached to our Lord. But they're different. John is more gentle, quiet, reserved, deep feeling. While Peter is hot, impetuous, zealous, fervent, forward. While they're different, they both love the Lord. How beautifully it's been written, and I quote, "The flowers in the Lord's garden are not all one color and one scent, though they are planted by one Spirit. The subjects of Christ's kingdom are not one tone or temperament, though they all love the Savior," end quote. What a beautiful description of the Church of Jesus Christ. The flowers of the garden are not all the same. We react differently. But we react this morning as John and Peter in love. Love guided by faith. Faith worked by the one Spirit of Jesus Christ. So what do they see? We read that they see and they believed. They do not see the object that they were seeking. Jesus is not there. But rather they see the trophies of his victory. The trophy of his victory over death and the grave. They see the grave clothes lying there undisturbed, and the napkin that was wrapped around his head also laying there separate from the other linen clothes. Kind of like a cast if you take it off one's foot. The shape is still there, the way that it's wrapped around, only with a cast is of that hard stuff, so it keeps its shape up. Whereas here, the linen clothes lying around the body of Jesus in the same shape as they had been laid, but they're flat. There is no body there within. What is the conclusion? Oh, the fears of Mary. They have taken the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we know not where they have laid him. No, it is not friends or enemies. It's not the guards. It's not the Romans. It's not the Jewish leaders. It's not grave robbers. They know that because the clothing is still lying there. Any grave robber would have peeled that stuff off to see if there was any gold on the fingers or buried with the dead person. The enemies would have just taken his body along with the wrappings and hastened away somewhere else. But they look at the linen clothes lying there undisturbed, not touched. They behold a mystery. They behold a miracle unlike any other miracle before. Whether it was the body of that young boy of the widow of Nain, or whether it be the rising of Lazarus when he came out of the tomb with those wrappings still around him, Jesus has risen, and the grave clothing there is testimony that it is a different kind of resurrection. It is not a resurrection back to this life again in this world, but it is a spiritual, it is a glorious resurrection. They don't understand all this at this time yet, but they know the Lord is risen indeed. That is the logical, that is the irresistible conclusion. Christ arose. He arose in his own power with a new body. Just like as of old the type, Joseph, emerged out of the prison, so the greater Joseph could no longer be contained there in the tomb. Is that not the testimony of Jesus? Jesus said he was going to die and to rise again the third day, but at that time they were filled with so much sadness they could not comprehend it. They didn't understand it. They believe not because now the word that they heard once, but they believe by the sight that leads them to faith at this point. So they came and they saw. We come also, don't we? And what must we see there in that not quite empty tomb? Yes, those women later on will with their eyes see Jesus. And Peter and John will see Jesus with the other disciples in that upper room. And even Thomas will see Jesus with his physical eyes. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15 that over 500 at one time saw Jesus with their eyes. But what eyes? What eyes are we to use to see the miracle that took place? To see the mystery that is revealed? To hear the gospel that is being preached by the not quite empty tomb? And beloved, it's not the physical eyes there, but it's the eyes of faith. By faith, we see that Christ is risen indeed. By faith with the gospel, we know that because Jesus has been risen from the dead, God raised him from the dead, all of our sins have been paid for. For if there was even one sin still remaining of ours, God would not have raised him from the dead. We were given to Christ so that he by his death might pay for our sins. And as he said from the cross, it is finished. Now the very resurrection of Jesus Christ is testimony to us. Our sins are gone. We are justified by faith. And by faith we see that as Jesus was raised from the dead with a not physical body, but a glorious heavenly body, so also we will come one day out of the tombs and be raised with those glorious heavenly bodies. Perhaps you say, but I really like what those disciples and the women had. They saw with their physical eyes Jesus Christ in the flesh. But beloved, we are a far greater position than the disciples and the women were that morning. Because we see Jesus Christ today by the scriptures that have been accomplished, the scriptures that are written down, the scriptures that show us Christ Jesus. And while they did not have those scriptures yet, they didn't know the scriptures, the hows and the whys. You and I have the scriptures, and you and I have the Holy Spirit. That is, we are able to see in a way that the disciples could not yet see, because we have Christ Jesus by his Spirit in our hearts with his written word. Come. Come to that empty tomb, not quite empty tomb, this morning with me, and see the miracle, see the mystery, see the gospel laid before us. And you and I are able to see with the eye of faith through the faithful witnesses here of John and of Peter and later on of all the disciples, as it's written in the scriptures. You and I are able to see Jesus, and we are able to hear Jesus as Jesus encounters us in our lives. What a Savior. Or as the hymn writer says, beautiful Savior. My Savior, my Lord. The disciples came. The disciples saw. That is, they saw with understanding and believing. And that's my third point. Look at our text, verse 8. And John saw and believed. And as Peter is standing there inside of the tomb along with John, can't you almost see John explaining to the older Peter, do you know what this means? Oh, Peter, this means more than that it was not someone else that stole his body away. That's not the case. Can you see, Peter? Can you see that Jesus obviously rose in his own power out of the grave clothing and out of the grave even before the grave was opened? We serve a risen Savior. A glance at the grave clothing proved the reality and proved the nature of the resurrection. It's not a resurrection again like Elijah or through Elisha. It's not a resurrection like the son of the widow of Nain. It's not a resurrection like Lazarus, who was raised here to live a little while longer on earth and then to die again. Yes, Jesus has arisen with a body that is different from our physical body. He is risen indeed. And now that mystery, why did he have to die? What did his death do? And what does his resurrection now mean for us? That will have to be unfolded to them in the next 40 days, and especially there on Pentecost. John believed. And John and Peter go back, and the disciples that evening see him with their eyes, just as you're going to hear tonight of the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. Their eyes were closed for a long time until Jesus finally opens up himself to them. As he's breaking the bread, they beheld the risen Savior. Jesus Christ is risen indeed. There is unbelief. There is unbelief today, not because the evidence is lacking, but there is unbelief because there is a refusal to take that evidence. There's a refusal to believe in the mysterious, the miracles that God does. They try to explain it away. There is the unbelief of those who say, well, Jesus was kind of just in a coma, so it seemed like he was dead, but after a little while, he revived himself again. No, that doesn't explain. That does not explain, does it, the linen clothing? If it was merely that Jesus was unconscious in a coma for a while and then he woke up, he could not have moved, he could not have done anything until those wrappings were taken off from his head and off from his body. There is unbelief. The Muslims believe that Jesus is a great prophet like Muhammad, not quite as great as Muhammad, but they do not believe that Jesus is the Lord and giver of life. They do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and that he is a risen Savior who is now on his throne in heaven. The disciples believed. They believed that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was glorified. And the transformation of Jesus' body points forward to the new mode of life of Jesus Christ. He is no longer of the earth, earthy. He says to Mary, do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Lord. In other words, it's not going to be things as they used to be, where Jesus would sit down and eat with them and drink with them and sleep in their homes. No, it's a different kind of mode, where Jesus appears to them for a moment, brings his word, and then leaves them again. Or when all the disciples are there, he actually takes of the food and eats it so that they may know that it is a real resurrection. They're not seeing some kind of phantom ghost. Jesus is alive, but his existence is now not of this earth. And so he appears only for a little while and again removes himself during those 40 days in order to give instruction, in order to give comfort. But he is going to go to his Father and our Father. He is going to go to his God and our God. What a beautiful saying that is here in this chapter. Because Jesus is speaking there in his humanity. The triune God is his Father, and by him, he's our Father. He's our elder brother, and it's through Jesus Christ that we are adopted children. He goes to his God, and that is our God in Christ Jesus. We come, we believe. We believe more than that, don't we? Not merely that Jesus Christ has arisen, but rather we see that through death we will gain. Death is still ugly. Death is the separation of body and soul, separation from all that we know and love here. Death is the wages of sin, but it is transformed by Jesus Christ, by his resurrection. So that for us now, death is a servant. God who reigns in heaven, our Lord Jesus sitting at God's right hand, takes that enemy death and makes it your and my servant, so that we're taken out of this veil of tears and troubles and trials, and we are brought home to be with Jesus, which is far better. And that's only the beginning, isn't it? Because that's just the intermediate state. We believe that the same Jesus that came down once from heaven in a state of humiliation and then ascended back up into heaven in glory, he is going to come again in exaltation, and he is going to come, and every eye is going to see him, and then our bodies also will be raised from the dust, and body and soul will be with the Lord Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth, which is far better than the first paradise. We come. We look and we see by faith. And we believe. How do we believe? We believe not because the church tells us it's so. We believe not because our parents can somehow cause us to believe. That we can't do as parents, can we? I wish I could do it with my children, and I wish we could all do it, that we could force all those who are here in the church to believe, that we could force others to believe. We can't do that, can we? We believe when the Spirit of God comes down upon us and opens our blinded eyes, opens our ears that we may hear spiritual things in our minds to comprehend them. What a beautiful thing that is. Those three Greek words, blepo, thereo, and horeo. Different stages. Maybe in order to understand the beauty of what the Spirit has written in these four verses, we can look at it a different way. You will remember that when Jesus was here on earth that he taught in parables. And one of the reasons that he taught in parables, we read that in order that they may see and yet not see, they may hear and not hear. What does that mean? It means that the enemies of Jesus heard those parables with those ears. And even a second stage, they had a partial understanding. They knew that Jesus was speaking against them. But they did not hear in the third sense of understanding what that means for their life. That they need to turn around from their unbelief and hatred to following the Son. Three different uses of the word to see in verses 4 through 8. Let me apply it to us this morning. It is possible, first of all, for a person to know the gospel story. You've heard the gospel story, many of you, from the day you were real young, growing up. You understand that Jesus was born, that he suffered, he died, he rose again, and he went to heaven. But second of all, maybe you not only know that he died and rose again and is now in heaven, but you come to realize, yes, according to what we were taught, Jesus came into this world to suffer and die for sins in order that by his resurrection he might raise dead sinners to life. Good, you theorize. But that's not enough either, is it? You not only must know the stories, you must not only understand why he did it, but thirdly, you have to realize, I'm one of those sinners, and I need this Jesus for my life. For apart from Jesus Christ, I'm dead of my sins. I'm going to hell. But Jesus suffered and died because he was seeking to save the lost. And by God's grace, I know I'm that lost sheep that was found and has life in Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, come this morning and looking, see. And seeing, believe. Believe because we have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within us and by his word dwelling in our hearts. In the last part of the pericope that we read, you have Thomas. Thomas who says, I will not believe unless I see with my eyes, unless I put my hands in the prints and my hand into his side. And Jesus says to him, blessed are they who have not seen, that is, with the physical eyes, yet believe. Verse 29. That is the multitudes to whom the disciples are going to preach the precious gospel. Yes, there were over 500 that saw Jesus physically in those 40 days. But after that, Jesus' body is up in heaven, and unlike Luther wanted to teach, that physical body does not take on divine characteristics. Jesus is not in and under and around the bread and the wine and the table. There's only one place where the physical body of Jesus is, and that is in heaven. But all those who heard the gospel preached by the apostles, especially the apostle John, without seeing the Lord Jesus with their physical eyes, by faith they see him, they behold his glory, and they believe. Jesus says to Thomas and the other disciples, be not faithless, but believing. What a challenge to you and me. Go forth from this place of worship. Go forth, not faithless, but believing. A faith that is based upon God's own word. There's an Easter song that we all like. I serve a risen Savior. We do. It's that last line of the chorus that troubles me at times. Because the question is asked there, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. You say, what's wrong with that? That's not the first reason why I believe that Jesus is risen. I don't always believe what my heart tells me because I've got a fickle heart, a sinful heart. At times, my heart would say, I don't think that the Lord Jesus is around me or he's not helping me. Why am I going through this trial, this trouble? Don't you have that at times? A child who is sick, a loved one taken away. Why, Lord? You ask me why I know he lives, and there the refrain should have been first and foremost because the Holy Spirit, by the word of God, declares it. I know he lives because there was eyewitnesses there who saw not only the linen clothes lying there empty, but they later on saw Jesus in the flesh that was raised, and they beheld him ascending up into heaven. I know by the testimony of God. And yes, by grace that lives in my heart, so yes, I do also experience it. He lives, I know he lives. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives in my heart. So my friends, come with me. Let's have a foot race. Let's run to that empty tomb. Let's look into that empty tomb, which isn't quite empty. The Lord Jesus is not there, for the grave cannot hold him. Sin could not hold him. Satan could not hold him. Those are the trophies of his victory. Look at the linen clothes lying there. It's a glorious resurrection. He arose not in a state of humiliation, but a state of exaltation, and he's now in heaven. Yes, let us come. Let us look and see and believe with eyes of faith. Jesus lives, and because he lives, we also live. Amen. Oh, Father, we thank thee for the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus. What would we do without that gospel of Jesus Christ? The gospel, the good news that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. The gospel that Jesus Christ left heaven to come down into our sinful condition, that he suffered and paid for our sins in full, that he arose again so that we too might have that new life. And Jesus is now in heaven preparing mansions for us, and he is coming again. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Fill thy saints with joy and hope in thy resurrection. Amen.